Welcome to Take a Hike. It's our way of being able to showcase some different hikes around the state. And we've been in northern Utah the last several weeks. And our next hike is also in the Tony Grove area, but not quite. And David Wallace, who is on the board of the Utah Native Plant Society and a leader with Cache Hikers, is in studio with me. Hi, David.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I love getting this information because I'm using it. I got to see the elk weed in blossom at the top of Logan Canyon last week, and I knew what it was. So that was kind of fun. So this week, we're going to talk about a couple of other flowers that are in blossom, but people need to get up into the mountains this month. So what do we got?
Well, I'd like to start by talking about another one of my favorite flowers. They're all my favorite flowers, if you want to know the truth. But this is one that I find quite interesting. This is Ptolemy's owl clover, or I guess I should say Noel's owl clover, because this is the subspecies we're talking about here in Cache Valley.
So it's not a true clover, though.
It's not a clover at all. It's a member of the snapdragon family. It doesn't look like a clover, but for some reason it's called that. In fact, I don't even know why they call it where the owl part comes in, except for the fact that it has a bulbous body with a beak on it. Maybe that that triggered it with somebody. But I knew this plant, the yellow owl clover, from the Wasatch Front. I used to see it up in Albion Basin, for example, when I was looking for wildflowers, and it was a nice little plant with yellow flowers about 6 inches tall or so. But here in Logan, in our mountains near Logan, it is a different subspecies, and it is pink. Rose-colored, and it grows a little taller, and it grows in drier soils. This was only been identified about 25 years ago, and it was named as its full name is Orthocarpus Ptolemyi variety or subspecies Holmgreniorum, which refers to the Holmgren family here that lived in Logan, and Arndt Holmgren ran the herbarium, and his son Noel was a very well-known botanist as well.
Are they the ones that helped identify this subspecies?
I'm sure they had something to do with it, but somebody else had found it and named it for them.
Okay. And how tall is this?
It's about a foot tall. It's a fairly slender plant. It doesn't look, but it's maybe easy to overlook as you're walking along the trail. So I'd suggest to keep your eyes open because it's a special one anyway.
So there's a similar yellow flowered, but this is the pink flower.
Yeah, the yellow flowered one grows in other areas. Here we'll find the pink one. This only is found from about Mount Ogden to just north of Montpelier in southern Idaho. So it's a fairly restricted plant.
So this is one you're not going to find just anywhere.
No, this is what we call an endemic. Okay. It's located in a specific area.
Okay, so a couple of other flowers on this hike. You have the sickle-top lousewort, yellow coral root, thin-leaf huckleberry, Whipple's penstemon. Sounds like there's a lot to see on this hike.
Yes, every hike is a wildflower hike. This hike, in order to get to the owl clover, you have to hike quite a ways through some varied terrain, and you end up on a dry ridge where you find the owl clover. But as long as you're hiking there, you might as well pay attention to some of the flowers you're walking past. So I thought I'd showcase those as well.
Well, please do. So what's this next one?
Well, these are several of my favorites, and once again, these are my favorites because I don't see them very often. Here in northern Utah, our soils are derived from limestone, and they tend to be very basic. Well, these are plants that prefer to have some acidic soils and some cool and shade and moisture, and it just so happens that the slope there above Tony Grove is just perfect for that.
So what you're saying is don't try to grow, even if you get the seed, don't try to grow them in your own garden down here in the valley. It's probably not going to like it too much.
Well, I can't say for sure on all of them, but I see them in these soils, and I don't see them elsewhere, so I suspect that's the decision factor there. To start with, I'll start with the one we know is the most acid-loving, and that's the huckleberry. Huckleberry is a relative of the blueberries, and any gardener would know this, that we don't even grow blueberries in our state except by extraordinary operations that involve soil amendments and changing the pH and all sorts of other things. But it grows up by Tony Grove. It's found in much of our area, and I can tell you from my experiences in Glacier Park, it's all over the place up there. But here in northern Utah, just a few small places here and there.
So is this kind of the southern range, the southern part of where you would find this huckleberry?
No, it's not really the southern part. It's mostly because of the soil.
Okay.
Looking at my map, it goes all the way to Arizona and found all the way to the Midwest and up into Canada. But like I say, it's not commonly found here in northern Utah.
And is it going to be growing along the trail, or is it just going to be off the trail?
It grows. Well, let me start talking about the trail so you can understand. The trail starts out shady and gentle and through a pine forest and on the cool north-facing slope, and that's where you'll find this one. Within the first half mile to mile, you'll encounter it. It's in patches along the trail.
So now this trail begins, it's a dirt road about a half a mile before we get to the Tony Grove parking lot up Logan Canyon.
Yeah, if you drive up Logan Canyon 20 miles and turn towards Tony Grove 7 miles, stop at 6.5, okay, and take the dirt road to your left across the old creek bed to the backcountry trailhead where the horsemen park their cars.
So you might see horses on the trail. Is this not motorized vehicles at all?
No motorized vehicles, but you might see bicycles as well.
Okay.
It's nice and shady and cool, as I mentioned, and you'll see the huckleberry. Now, the huckleberry has already bloomed, but it's developing its fruit now, and you'll be able to identify that. And if you wait a few more weeks, you might be able to eat some of those fruits as they ripen.
And these are actually really quite good. I know a place above Preston in Emigration Canyon that I've picked huckleberries for, and it takes a long time to get even just like a cup and a half or 2 cups of berries, but they sure taste good in pancakes.
They are tasty, and here you'll have a lot of competition from all the other hikers and the wild animals as well. But okay. It's nice to know it's there.
Okay, so that's thin leaf huckleberry. What about this coral root?
The coral root is an orchid, a true orchid. And here we have the yellow color coral root. It grows in the same shady, piney areas as the huckleberry. It's about a foot tall, pale yellow in color. There's no chlorophyll, so it takes all of its food. It's a parasite, so it takes it from the plants around it. And it has these interesting little yellow flowers that that poke out from the stem.
And where would you see this along the trail?
It'd be right along, scattered through the shady areas and along that first, between about a half mile to a mile.
Okay. And sickle leaf lousewort?
So this is we talked last time about elephant head, which is one of the lousewarts, pedicularis. This is sickle-topped lousewort, pedicularis racemosa. And I saw this all the time in the Uinta Mountains when I would backpack in there. It's very common there. But once again, here, the only place I see it is on the slopes above Tony Grove. So it makes it a special plant to me in northern Utah. It has, it's about a foot tall, maybe 2 feet. And it has white flowers, small white flowers, with a curved beak on the top. I don't know for sure, but my guess is it has a pollination scheme similar to its relative, the elephant's head that we talked about last time.
And the last flower with this hike is Whipple's penstemon. And I've tried to grow these in my own yard and never had a lot of success, but I also don't have a mountain-type location in my yard, so maybe that's the problem.
Well, this is interesting. This is another one of my plants that I used to see when I hiked in the Uinta Mountains. Unlike our other penstemons, it grows in more higher elevations and moister, cooler, shadier areas. So, like you, I thought that might be a good plant for my yard. And so I planted some in my yard, and it did not do well. It died after a year or so. And now the wheels have clicked in my mind, and I'm realizing it probably needs some acidic soil as well, because that's, once again, that's where I see it in the high Uintas and then here. What makes Whipple's penstemon different is its color. It is a deep, deep purple. The flower grows maybe a foot or two high, tall, but it has these big, wide-open penstemon-shaped flowers with the bilabiate, with the beard tongue. But they're so deep in color, they're just fascinating to me.
So it's not it's a true dark purple. It's not got a little bit blue. I mean, there's Wasatch penstemon that, if that happens to be out and people see it, it's definitely got more blue color to it. This is actually purple.
Yes, this is actually purple, and it's I wouldn't say it's quite describes ours, but some people have said it looks wine colored.
Mm. Well, I love penstemons, and Utah has more penstemons than anywhere else in the world, so it's definitely worth a look to go out and see the Whipple penstemon. Anything else about this hike that you would suggest, or anything that we should know about? How long is the hike, elevation gain, that sort of thing?
Okay. Well, the hike is starts out fairly easily. If you go to the backcountry trailhead, like I mentioned, the first half mile to mile is gently climbing. The Forest Service rerouted it a number of years ago. It used to be a straight run up and down the hill, subject to erosion, and they rerouted it so it's much better, which is good for us too because it goes through those shady woods where these flowers grow, which is nice. If you don't want to start there, you can actually go to the campground and start at campsite number 13. There's a little trail that connects going straight east in this case to intersect the trail.
I see that here on the map, actually, and we'll have this map is on our website, so you can take a look at it, and you've got it marked where you can see the owl's clover as well as the huckleberry coral root, the lousewort, and the Whipple's penstemon.
I put a little note there that says camp trail. That's the trail to the campground if you want to take that route.
Okay.
If you want, and when you come down, by the way, make sure you take the right direction, or you'll end up at one of the other places where your car's not. If you end up at the campground, or the
you'd eventually get there. It'd be the longer hike.
Yeah. The trail is nice and shady for the first mile or so. It goes over a ridge to, and if you're looking for our shady plants, you can quit right there, okay? Mm. If you want to go on to our owl's clover, you have to hike quite a bit more farther. Instead of a mile, you'll be going almost 4 miles.
And if you kept going on this trail, where does it eventually lead you?
Oh, this is a trail that has many connections. If you want to make a nice little loop out of it, you could go up to the Owl's Clover site on the Cottonwood Ridge. It's a dry, high ridge that borders the wilderness. That's where we find this plant. And then from there, you could circle back by way of the Blind Hollow and Hanson Pond, if you wish. Watch out for wrong turns. There's some false trails in there.
All right. David, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to our next edition of Take a Hike. David Wallace is a leader of Cache Hikers and on the board of the Utah Native Plant Society. And we'll continue to have more hiking reports in upcoming weeks, so stay tuned.